is very highest of all creation. And the most precious thing on earth, I would say, yeah, that's the golden opportunity that we have got. While having that man body, we can invert and see the light of God and hear the voice of God within. If you enter within, you see, they are more valuable than the outside door. So in the Holy Scriptures, you see, such like men, I would say, men first because they were, had the form of man body, and when they came in contact with God, became the mouthpiece of God, they spake as inspired by God, they became the conscious co-worker of the divine plan. Such like men were who uttered those experiences which they had with their self and God, which are recorded in our Holy Scriptures. So in the, you will find description of God, you see. A description of the experiences that the man had with themselves and with God only in Scriptures. Scriptures you have to read. But God is not in the Scriptures, only description of God is given in the Scriptures. And God is actually within you and everywhere. So, such a master, when you go to him, he will never tell you it's all right. You simply go to a temple or read certain scriptures, he says, well, go to the temple. He does not tell you not to go, but he says, go there, that's the first element he said, read scriptures, because that will create an interest within you. When you read all scriptures taken together, you see, we come closer to each other, you see. And what they say, God is with you. After all, it boils down to that, you see, God is with you. Your soul has to realize that. For that purpose, you must know yourself first and then God. This is what the scripture said. Now, some people consider that they will go to the place of pilgrimage. What are they after all? Those places of worship, pilgrimages, all their reverence, you see, only for the reason that some master lived there. What we consider now, excuse me, we consider the holy places of worship, scriptures, those places of pilgrimage as the be-all and end-all of life. These are the things we had to make the best use of them for having that experience ourselves, which is given in the holy scriptures, which the master had with himself and with God. A reading of those scriptures creates in us an interest that there is some reality within, about which the Master has spoken so highly. But until we have first an experience with that reality, we cannot be convinced at heart. Even if you meet a Master, I tell you, he will just quote you some scripture. Why? Does he need all these scriptures? No. Why? Because he has seen that reality, what the Master has said. He has respect for all scriptures. He sees that all had to say the same thing. He can interpret those scriptures in the right import, tell you. But he is not dependent on them. He simply quotes certain scriptures just to give you some reference that there is truth like that. And moreover, that makes the work of the Master easier, I tell you. Suppose you go to a Christian and quote from the Bible, it is like that, you say that's all, and no further reasoning required. You go to a Mohammedan, you simply quote from Quran or other Mohammedan and say that's all, right? No further discussion required. If you go to a Sikh, simply quote from the Sikh scriptures, say, oh, that's all right. No further reasoning. That makes the work of a master, you see, easier to let people understand there is some truth within. So what they say, once a question was put to a master, well, what do you think about these holy places of worship of all religions? Well, he said, all are alike. They are made by the hand of man with well, bricks and mortar and iron and wood, that's all. Of course, they are worthy of respect because those places are reserved for saying praises of God. Is it? That is why we have respect for our holy places of worship. And further, what he would say? Well, about the scriptures, he had to say the same thing. He said, well, look here, we have respect for the scriptures because we have respect for God, men, masters, you see, with mouthpiece of God. And we have respect for masters because they were the mouthpiece of God, for the sake of God, because that was speaking through them, that is why we have respect for the masters, you see. And for the holy scriptures, because these are the utterings of the masters. Ultimately, it goes back to God, you see. And holy places of worship we respect. Why? Because they are the holy places of God or Son. For the some one reason, that is, say, God, we respect all these things. Well, question was put in your side, which particular holy place of worship is what? First city. He said, well, all are alike. Whether it is in Makkah or Medina, you see. Whether it is some temple or some, I mean, church, they are made by the hand of man, just reserved for the purpose of saying holy praises of God, to come in communion with God. Then he says, and in your eyes, which is the most valuable as compared with it? He says, in my sight, that particular body in which the light of God has become effulgent, and that voice of God he hears, is a moving temple of God on earth, you see. He is above all of them, you see. We do deference to all holy places of worship which have those symbols of that light and voice of God within them. Real, true temple of God in man's body. That you are carrying. Now, the further question comes, if it is so, where is that God? How to find him? We have come to know that ultimately this body is a very valuable thing, and as compared with that, well, soul is still more valuable. But we are now taking from the physical body, that is actually most valuable thing, you see. Man body is the highest of all creation, great is man. All the holy scriptures came out of the body of man, through the man body, is it not? That's the head, well, men first, you see. And further, when they came in conflict with God, they become the son of God, that's all. They became the children of light. Whenever they gave light to all the world over. This one aspect of the show. Then further, now we have to enter the kingdom of God. How can we enter that? That's the point. You see? Kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So long as you are just working through the body, through the organ of sense, and attached to the outside world, you cannot have an access into it. Because the kingdom of God is within you, within this holy temple of body you are carrying. Now when we close our eyes, what we find? Nothing, all dark. And all scriptures say, great is man. You see, man is the next to God, you see. All masters who came in the past, they had the man body. Why? Because they found the kingdom of God within themselves, you see. That is why they said the men who were engaged in the outer pursuits, all the time devoted to just maintain the body only and not make the best use of it. He is engaged with the organs of sense. He is just putting his whole time in the maintenance of that. What is the result? Till the end of life, he continues like that, what is the result? The result comes that the indweller of the man, body goes away, and that we are. Now, who has been just trying to save this life, physical life, he will lose the higher life, naturally. And those whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Losing the life does not mean to kill it, you see, or drown it, or poison it. It means just you have to rise above the body consciousness. You have to work here in the physical plane, and you must know how to transcend the body to find the true glory and beauty which lies within us. All true glory and beauty is in you. The Saint John, you see, that is given, he says, verily, verily I say unto you, you see, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Further, he added, except a man be born anew, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To be born anew, what does that mean? That to be born into the beyond, leaving this body and come above it, you see. The man who is all along engaged in maintaining the outer, this body, and the outer environments, out of 24 hours, he does not snatch away even 1 or 2 hours for the purpose of knowing oneself and knowing God, his life is wasted. Honestly, the highest mission of man's life was to know oneself, to know God. If he has not put in any time for that purpose, well, then he has to after all leave the body. No exception to the rule, you see. At that time, because he does not know how to transcend the body, and soul has to leave the body, well, he feels agony, you see. Feels excruciating pains. Nobody can help him. If he just put in more time that way, how to transcend the body, because St. Paul said, the lost enemy that we have to conquer is death. You see? How to conquer that? What is that? That is no bugbear. It is simply a change into the beyond. I have come from India, but I am not dead. I am no more in India. That's alright. Similarly, when we leave the body, we are still alive. But we are no more in the physical body or the physical world. That means transference, you see, from one place to another. If you know how to transcend, have an access, come about the body consciousness, transcend the body, express in any way you like. If you have got that practical experience, then there's no fear of death. So for that purpose, you will have to be born anew, to born into the beyond. You will have to come about the senses, organs of sense, physical sense, first, then the astral senses, then the causal senses. And above all, you will know truly who you are, what you are. Only then you will be able to understand what is God. Could possibly be, to some extent, all of it, you see. So that is why, then, it was laid down great stress was laid down for that, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now the kingdom of God is within you and not outside against the heavens. How to enter within? They say, seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and His justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. And what we are doing? We are seeking first the physical body and the physical all environments. And if you do care for God, that is only for the purpose that is sort of help to get these things, you see. Which is the most important thing on all scriptures lay very strong stress is on that, seek ye first, and we leave it to the last. When a young man just comes up, he says, well, then let me eat and drink and enjoy for the moment. When I will grow old, then I will see. Well, who knows if you will grow old or not, you see. In life might be cut out, that's the most important. Life is more than the meat. Practically, we are just behaving in the world in that way, but when we have to work up for that, we are simply giving the last thing, you see. To keep it the last hour when I get time, that's all right. People come up to me and ask me, dear friend, could you put in more time? And they speak, well, we have got no time, we have to earn money. And I tell them, well, look here, out of 24 hours, can't you reserve 2 to 4 hours for that purpose? You have to reach the body. After all these things what you are now engaging, you see, this will not accompany you. Even the body, which is the first companion, you see. Of us, when we enter into the world, when you go, this body does not accompany you. How can you expect those things which have come in contact through the body, they will go along with you? You have to just consider the higher values of life, you see. For that reason now, we have to enter the kingdom. Seek ye first. That's first and foremost thing that was laid down by all masters who came in the past. Then what to do? He says, just enter within. That's the only way. When you enter within, what will you find? He says, shut the doors of the temple of the body, then you will see the light of heaven. God is light. And where will that light be found? You will be able to see when you just enter this temple of body. And you got candlelight outside in the churches, in all holy places of worship. Similarly, you have that light within. But we have not known how to invert that inside. That is why that is light is still there, but we do not see. Blessed are they who see. Mm-hmm. We have eyes but see not. How to see that light? How to enter within? That is only when you just come, rise above the physical body consciousness, only you will be able to know yourself, to see that thing, not before. Then it says, you see, until we see ourselves, we cannot be convinced. We may take up anyway, we may be reading all scriptures, we can take up anything as an experimental measure, but we are convinced only when we see for our own self. They say, all scriptures say, all masters say, there is light of God within you. But are we convinced about that? No. We will take up as an experimental measure, but until we have first an experience of seeing that light within, we won't be convinced. This is what the Master says, you see. Man is not convinced even by the all scriptures at your command, by all Masters, even meeting you, until you can take it safely as an experiment to measure, no doubt, but you are not convinced until you see the things for your own self. That is why I say, well, don't believe what the Masters say, what the scriptures say, but take it up as an experimental measure until you invert inside, see the light of God within yourself, you will not be convinced. Very open to conviction, these words are given by the Master, you see. Not follow blindly, all as you, when the time will come, you will see you are not yet fit for that light. You must wait. You will get this, meet God only after death. There are such like things no awakened man will ever believe, you see. So what they say? For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see. Those who are put on the way, as they meet the Master, they open their inner eye to see the light of God. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And I have not seen them, and to hear the voice of God which you hear. And to see is something else. There's a higher whole. All things, you see. That's the only thing which can convince you. Best of all. So that is why all masters did come and they did their stress on that. Well, just learn to just come up the body consciousness. Maulana Rum, he says, so long as you do not rise above these senses, you cannot see what is happening to the beyond. He gives an example to show that there is a building, you see. There is a staircase. Suppose you go up the staircase, there are 100 steps. If you go up 50 steps, do you see what is happening on the roof upstairs? No. Until you just go up 100 stairs, you won't be able to see what is happening there. Similarly, you must withdraw completely from the body and go above. Only then you will be able to see the light of God which is already within you. Then this is, has been explained by others too, blessed is the man who daily prepares himself to die. Live a dying life. Again, it is that I die daily. He has given this scripture, Bible, I'm quoting. I die daily. Learn how to die that he may begin to live. Learn how to die that he may begin to live, you see. So your life, true life commences when you transcend the, leave the body. To die means just come about the body consciousness. And body remains inert, you see, without any consciousness in it. Forsake the flesh for the spirit. Each morning, then it lays down. Each morning and in the evening and at all times, be ready to die. So this is what the Master also said, you see. We are afraid. Guru Amar Das, the third master of the six, he says, men are afraid of dying. They would like to just live another 2 hours. You see? Take a breath more. Why? Why are they afraid of? They do not know how to die, how to leave the body. Is it possible to leave the body at all? That's the point. Yes. All masters say. Plutarch, Saint Plutarch says, the experience that the soul has at the time of leaving the body, you see, the same experiences man experience has when he is initiated into the mysteries of the beyond. What is that? That is leaving the body, that's all. How to consider that a practical question, and if you come to a master, he will give you ABC from there. First thing you say, all right, sit down, go up, leave the body. Where the world philosophy ends, then the religion starts. Isn't it? When you come about the body consciousness, only ABC of the teaching of the master starts from there, you see. You see the light of God, you hear the voice of God, you traverse into the planes higher, and you will see things for your own self. No testimony would be required. And the greatness of master lies only in the fact that whenever you go to him, he will simply give you first an experience of the beyond. Make you sit. You will see that you have come above the body. Your inner eye will open. You will see the light of God. This is what is meant by dying daily, you see. When you have that competency, you conquer death. That's in no bugbear, you see. They'll bring you, I mean, all the yasings. If you know how to be divided, there was seem to be beyond that will. Because at the time of death, you will be cut off, silver cord will be cut off, you go, leave the body once for all, not to return. The man who is just attached to the, I mean, the beatitude and the bliss is bliss, ineffable and sweet of the beyond, you see. Well, all this outward enchantment and attraction falls away. The more you recede from the visible things, you will come nearer to the invisible. The more you attach to the visible things, naturally you go away from them, beyond. So that is meant by just losing your this life and having ever lost your life. So Guru Amar Das says, look here, men are afraid of hearing the name of death. Everybody wishes he may have some two breaths more to take. But when the orders are issued from above, no, there's no exception to the rule, we have to leave the body. He says, if you just learn how to die while in life, how to transcend the body, how to leave the body at will, while sitting at the feet of some master, who is really a master, now I say the word real, the pity it is that there are so many masters nowadays, the world is full of masters. The word master has been very badly misused, I would say. That is why Christ said to beware us, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And this is all other master to see. When you come to your master, you see, what does he say? All right, sit down. He makes you give you an experience how to transcend the world. With the grace of the master, if you learn that practically, then what's the result? You will become conscious co-worker of the divine plan. You will think that God's will is working throughout. You will be conscious. And as such, if you know to die such a death, then you will have an everlasting life. All masters have to say that. Maulana Rumi says, well, look here, if you want to make the best use of your man body, what should you do? You simply learn how to leave the body at will. You want to ascend into the beyond, have experience of the beyond, well, no attachment for the outward and the things will remain. They will cut off at all, you see. So, die while living. That's the main teaching of all the masters who came in the past, you see. Now, question remains, even if you leave the body, your inner eyes to be open, you see. Truly we have eyes and see not. You see? We have eyes but see not. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, not two. This is what Saint Matthew says, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. We are all entering the world with two eyes, you see. We are going into expression, we are tied to the world outside. And if the eye becomes one, that is now a practical question, you see. The question is that if enter the into life with one eye, we got each one of them got two eyes. How two eyes can become one if you continue working through the two eyes, that brings you attached to the outer world, you see. Eyes are the organs, you see, of sense, the highest of all, and you 83% of the outward expression you receive only through the eyes. 83% of the impression. We are tied to the world, you see, through two eyes. If the eye becomes one, then you will be saved. Again it is said in the Bible, you see, the light of the body is the eye. If when thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But when thine eye be evil, thy body is full of darkness.
Good morning. Welcome to the satsang of Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last half of the talk given on 3rd August 1955 in Hollywood, California. Our reader this morning is Christine Clevenger. Hello, Christine.
Hello, Pradeep. And good morning to everyone. I'm going to read The Ocean of Intoxication, which can be found in the April 1975 Sat Sandesh. This talk was given by the Master on January 19, 1964, in Mr. Khanna's house in Washington, D.C. There is a religion above all religions that is one for all. That is truth. It was given out by all masters whenever they came. We have forgotten it, that is all. I go everywhere. People of all religions invite me. They love me and I love them. Perhaps their love is reciprocal or my love is reciprocal, I don't know. But they do love me, and I love them. When I go to them, I see I am at home, because they also stand for the very same truth. But while standing for this truth, they have gotten into formations, watertight compartments. Sometimes in this zealousness of being in that watertight compartment, they unfortunately establish divisions. But I take them from the viewpoint of the religion that is above all religions. The word religion purely means re, back, and legio, to bind back our souls to God. This religion is above all other religions, which are meant to lead us to this very high religion. We are already one, but unfortunately we have forgotten this. Masters see all of life only from its level as a man, or as a soul, or as the higher truth. This duality has been shaken off by the grace of my Master. I love all. We are worshipers of truth. We are to bring out the very truth that has already been given. The pity is that people have forgotten it, that is all. When I go to them, they claim me as their own. And first, I claim them as my own. That is how it is. There is no dearth of outer forms of religions, but all these outer forms of religions are meant for that higher religion, which is one, or truth. We should always have that ideal before us. There can be no duality, no strife, no concussion. The pity is that we do take up the way. Apparently we try to follow that higher religion, but for want of practical progress, we do not have it at home in our hearts. The present day is an age of the practical life. People do not believe unless there is something practical, so we must have all our truth in a practical way, and it will appeal to all. This truth will prevail. Times are changing. This is the only thing that can appeal to everybody. This is the only ground on which all of us can sit together. So I wish each one of you to be practical. Do not try to reform others. Reform your own self. When you are reformed, all the world will be reformed. If anybody hates you, love him. After a while, he will come around. If any man lowers himself, it affects him the most. If anyone has done anything wrong to you, and you also stoop to harm him, you do more harm to yourself first. This is what my master once wrote to me. He said, many kinds of people come to the satsangs. Some come only to criticize. Others come out of devotion. He said, if a bad man does not leave off his bad habits, why should a good man leave off his good habits? It is not good if a man thinks that way, that is, returning in kind whatever he receives. If you sense any evil, return it with love. That is all you have to do. That will give you peace first, and then others. When you hate anybody, perhaps not outwardly, but at heart, it reacts in the heart of the other. So we should have air-conditioned hearts into which no hate should penetrate. That is all I can say. Once it so happened in the life of Buddha that some man came to him and began calling him names very angrily. He remained until it grew dark. And when he was going to leave, Lord Buddha told him, look here, friend, hear me first. I ask you one question. If anybody brings a present to give somebody and he does not accept it, with whom does it remain? The man said, of course, with the one who has brought it. So, dear friend, the present that you have brought, I do not accept. That will change your life first. That is the criterion. You might say a tit for a tat is all right, but it should not be done that way, for if anybody does it, he goes down. When you return love in the other way, that is God's grace on you. And God is more pleased, the God and the Master too. It is a very simple thing. For one slight shortcoming, we go on spoiling our own life. I do not mean to say that those who show hatred are doing good. No, they are also not doing good. They are harming their own selves first. Where fire burns, the earth around it is heated first. Then the heat spreads further. You should have pity on your own self to save your own self. To find God is not difficult, I tell you. To make a man is difficult. God himself is searching for a man. He does not find a man. If when two beasts fight, they lock horns, what is the difference between a man and an animal? Man is the highest in all creation. He is God in man. Even if you don't take up the spiritual way and you live up to these things, I tell you honestly, you will find peace. You will have transvisions. You can portend things. To be spiritual is not this, but it is a very good ground on which spirituality can dawn. Spirituality is just knowing oneself and being cognizant of God all the time. I am telling you no new things. These same old things are given in our scriptures, but we don't try to follow or understand them. Even if we have understood them, we don't put them into practice. If you begin to love, you will find a change in your own self, even after a few months. The very same things that appeared to be very bad in the past will now appear to be good. A man who has changed in this way speaks in the heart. He speaks by radiation. His eyes speak, because thoughts are more potent than words. Silence speaks more than words, because thoughts are potent. Thoughts radiate. They radiate only the kind of quality which is within you. They are charged by that quality. You will find the atmosphere will be charged like anything. There is no foe, mind that. Our own mind is the foe. Even the very atmosphere will begin to resound. This is what Christ meant when he said to shut yourself in a closet. Shutting yourself in a closet means that in your thought, you will be wholly and solely with him. If more than one sit together in that way, how great a radiation there will be. Satsangs are meant for that. Satsangs are of the master, not of individuals. They help by radiation. And more than love is devotion. Devotion is more than love. Love burns the lover, and devotion burns the one he is devoted to. The other takes all the burden. So, faith in the Master is a great blessing. It grows, it goes to sprout forth spirituality from within us. With it, man can work wonders. Mind that Master does not make slaves of you. He makes friends of you. He has respect for the God in you. He treats all alike, high and low. We are men, and God has made all men equally with the same privileges. This is a very common sense matter, and it requires no intellectual efforts. Live up to it, and you will find it to be true. The man who does it is paid then and there, because it gives him peace of heart. That is why Christ said, "Love your enemies." Some people went to Christ and asked, "What should we do with our enemies?" He said, "Your law says a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye." That formula was on account of people's hard-heartedness. "I give you, love your enemies." That was a higher religion. Do you see? This is why I said there is a religion higher than all religions, and that is truth. That is love. That is life. That is light. And those who follow the masters do not walk in darkness. They walk in light. Not the light of the Son of Man, but the light shining through him. We are worshipers of that light. I wish if I could go deep down into your hearts, I could convince you and give you an impetus to start that way. The sooner the better. When you get strength, you have simply become receptive. Let you abide in him. That is the only way. You abide in him only when you remember him. Whatever you remember out of sweetness reacts. That reaction draws you to abide in him, and you receive that Godhead through receptivity. That is why it is said, spirituality cannot be taught, but caught. The more devotion and the more surrender we give, the more spiritual we can become. Even the worst of men can do this. The pity is that we do not surrender and we are not devoted. While saying we have love for somebody, we are not devoted. We have other devotion somewhere else. What kind of devotion is that? Our Master Sawan Singh used to say of those who had talked evil of him, I am very glad in their zealousness they remember me. Once he went to a village in which there was much controversy. When he went there, the people received him with stones, and when satsang was being given, they threw stones. He turned to them and said, I thank you. You have given me a very good reception. Thanks for the reception. Now, with these words, they were changed. So you love. In the beginning, some people do not have love for want of right understanding. You must be true to your own self and to the God within you, that's all. Have love for all. Many problems will be solved. What is good, do at once. What is evil, delay. Make it a point. Leave it to some higher power. During this tour, I met with people from the Tyrol. Some Italians in the Tyrolean area had control over the people there. They were revolting and they had bombs and other weapons. I met the governor. We had a 1-hour talk. He said, I do not know what to do. I don't follow what is to be done. I told him, delay. Light will shine. And what happened? We are now in correspondence. War did not break out. It can work wonders within our own selves. What does it cost any man? How much does it cost? Mind that I have love for all. Even if you fight, I have love for both sides. I tell you honestly, I have love for those who are awakened, who have the right understanding, and I love the others for pity's sake. I want to raise them up. With Master's sayings, their very brevity is the soul of truth. Masters never give long yarns. They say in a few words, and those words are pregnant with meaning. They never dwell on them. Love and all things shall be added unto you. Only a few words. How can all things be added unto you? Try it and see. Practice it, and you will find out. People do not realize the truth of it. Take one thing. Take love, for instance. Take truthfulness. If you do, you will be changed. And the highest practice, I would say, is coming in contact with the God in action power, Nam or Shabda. Then all virtues find their abode in you. They come of themselves, some by self-introspection and others by coming in contact with the God into expression power. Naturally, they will come to you. And now Bibi Hardevi, or Taiji, is introduced to sing a prayer. Master replies, this is a prayer to the Master to give us one bag of wine of God intoxication. There is much laughter. Then Taiji sings the prayer, a hymn composed by the Master in his days of discipleship. The song is in Hindi and is heartbreakingly beautiful. When it is over, the Master comments as follows. He says, God is an ocean of all intoxication, and those who are the mouthpiece of God are also rolling waves of intoxication. This is a prayer. For that intoxication, we come to the Masters, those who are the mouthpiece of God, those whose soul drinks deep into the intoxication of God, those who radiate and who overflow with that intoxication. We pray to the Master, O Master, give us one bag of that intoxication. Will you, like a tavern man who gives to everybody, also kindly give us one bag of such intoxication, by drinking which we forget everything? And to that, you may add the intoxication of those who are overflowing with intoxication. And he prays, O Master, I have been searching for it in all temples, everywhere, yet I did not find it. But when I came to you, you gave me one drop. With one drop from you, I got intoxication. There are two well-known stories in India. One is about Farhad, who was a lover of a princess, Shirin. He wanted to marry her. He was madly in love with her, and he was saying, here, there, and everywhere, I will marry her. That looked very awkward to the king. He wondered what to do about it and consulted with his minister. His minister advised him to order Farhad to build a canal down from the Himalayas. Let him do it. He will die in the effort. So Farhad began to excavate the canal from the Himalaya mountains so as to pass the very mansion in which she lived. Love knows no burdens, no hardships. He did so and was successful. Now the king had no other alternative. Again, he consulted with his minister about what to do. The minister said, send out a rumor that the princess has died. When this rumor reached Farhad, he took an axe and struck it into his own head and died. And in the meantime, what happened? When the princess heard about it, she fell down from the roof and died. This is the extreme of madness. It is madness itself. But this madness should also be put into the shadow. You may give us such an intoxication that the story of Farhad will be eclipsed. There is another story about Majnun, who was a lover of a princess named Layla. He was so much in love with her. She used to give out alms every day to all people who came to her. One day, he also joined the beggars just in order to approach her and get alms from her. She gave something to everybody. But when Majnun came up with the cup in his hand, she struck the cup from underneath and threw it down, and it was broken. And Majnun was very jolly. He was dancing with happiness. People asked him, what has she given you? She has given you nothing. She has only broken your cup. "Oh, you don't know what she has given me," he said. "She has told me that unless you break this cup of the body and forget your own body consciousness, you are not fit to love." It was so that when Majnun entered the town where Layla lived, he used to kiss the very ground on which he walked and the very walls and corridors of the houses of the town, because Layla lived there. Once he was seen kissing the feet of a dog. People asked him, "What are you doing?" "Oh," he said, "one day I saw this dog going down the street of my Layla." This is extreme madness of love. He says that such an intoxication may be given that throws all this madness of love into the shade by comparison. We go to the Master to get such an intoxication, not for the performance of rites and rituals. This is a religion above all these things. Shamas Tabriz said, "If I leave the body, and my body is cut into pieces and put in some field as manure, whoever bakes the bread with the corn that grows out of that land, and whoever serves it on the table," he did not even mention anything about those who would eat the bread made out of that corn, "will be intoxicated." This is what we are after. This is already within us. But when we come in contact with the mouthpiece of God, we get an impetus. It flares up. So life comes from life. No books can give it to you, and no outer performance can give it to you. The masters have said that you cannot find God so easily or quickly, even by saying prayers, performing rituals, giving alms, controlling your senses, and having a life of continence too, as you can by sitting at the feet of a master. This is the way life comes from life. This is given to you when you develop receptivity. By devotion and surrender, you can develop this receptivity. You have nothing to do. This very thing becomes a part and parcel of your life. Our master used to tell a story in which some sculptors or portrait painters who were foreigners came to China to show their skills. The king agreed to give them a hall in which to do whatever painting they liked. Some Chinese painters also wanted to have an opportunity to show their skills. The king said, "All right, divide the hall by a curtain." It was a big hall. One wall was given to the foreigners and the other to their own countrymen. They began to work on the walls. After some time, the painting was ready. The foreigners went to the king and told him, "Our painting is ready. Would you kindly come and visit it?" The king went there and saw that the painting was very beautiful. He was amazed at how lovely it was. As he was coming out, the Chinese painters also said, "Would you kindly have a look at ours?" "All right." When the curtain was taken off, to the amazement of the king, the very same painting that was on the other wall was on this one. It was exactly there, and still clearer than the other one, because in the original one, done by hand, little imperfect spots did show up here and there, but in the reflection, they were not there. He was amazed and said, "What have you been doing?" When two men are in a competition, they won't let others see what they are doing. "What did you do?" "We have done nothing, sir," they answered. "We have done no labor. We were simply rubbing the wall so much from day to day that it now reflects. That's all we have done. So it is the love that reflects. That's the rubbing that reflects the master within you, which is I, not now I, but the Christ in me. That is devotion. There we are wanting. We may have love, I tell you honestly. Love knows no burdens. Love beautifies everything. And love and all things shall be added unto you. But devotion is still greater, and surrender greater still. That love is love, where there is devotion and surrender. Where there is no devotion and surrender, there is no love. By devotion and surrender, you lose your ego. You reflect the same as He is in you. You become He Himself without any effort. That is the highest of all. And here I will end this reading. I read from a talk given on January 19th, 1964, called The Ocean of Intoxication, which can be found in the April 1975 Satsang Dash. Thank you to our gracious Master.
And thank you, Christine, for your loving reading. Thank you, everybody, for your patient listening. We had 79 people in attendance today, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So every saint has his past, and every saint has his future. There's hope for everybody. Guru Amar Das, when he came up to that state, he said, I was like you someday. So there is hope for everybody. Those who have got man body, that is why man body is spoken of very highly.